Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Thursday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. We are two short days away from Packers Jets first preseason game. Super pumped about that. Over the course of the next couple days, we'll certainly be talking a little bit more about that matchup, but we are going to be recapping day 12 of training camp today. We have day 12 of training camp coming up later today, which we'll have a live episode afterwards as well. Before we jump into anything, a couple things really quick. First of all, shout out to brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Nady Nate, as well as new All-Pro member, Craig. Appreciate you guys signing up a ton. Also, I just want to address a comment on our YouTube video the other day, just really quick. Somebody wrote something to the extent of, hey, find somebody who loves you as much as Andy loves Luigi's Pizza. And I just hate to tell you, that's bad advice because it's not possible. It is literally impossible to find somebody who loves you that much as I love Luigi's Pizza. Just real quick, make sure to follow my friends over at Luigi's Pizza on social media, specifically on X. It's likely I'm going to be doing some live chats and Q&As over on their channel. So make sure to check that out. And again, follow them at Luigi's Pizza, L-U-I-G-E-S. P-I-Z-Z-A. And also that reminder, 4 to 6 p.m. Hagemeister Park this Saturday, ahead of Packers Jets preseason pregame show, live Q&A. Of course, Hagemeister has got great food, beverages, etc. So it's going to be worth getting over there. And yeah, the more people that come, the more it makes me want to do these more and more in the future. So definitely come out 4 to 6 p.m. this Saturday at Hagemeister Park prior to Packers Jets. Packers made a couple of roster moves on Wednesday. They unfortunately had to put Travis Glover on injured reserve, which does end his season. You might be thinking, hey, Andy, you now have the opportunity to bring two players back from injured reserve, you know, and you don't, you know, they can be put on injured reserve, you know, during those final cutdowns and you can bring them back afterwards. That is true, but you have to place them on IR that day. If you place them on IR prior to that day, that final cutdown day, in that instance, they are in fact done for the season. Travis Glover sounds like he has a pretty serious shoulder issue, and he is in fact going to be shut down for the year. Disappointing, no doubt about it. He looked like he was on his way to a 53-man roster spot. Remember last year when they needed somebody in that Philadelphia game, he was the first man up. He did not play particularly well in that instance, but he definitely was trending in the right direction for another 53-man roster spot. If nothing else, it certainly stunts his development, which you never want to see. So tough blow for Green Bay. Really the first significant injury of the year. It is to Travis Glover. He is done for 2025 and will have to make his way back in 2026, trying to make a roster as a third-year player next year. In his, absence, Green Bay did have an open roster spot. They utilized that roster spot on wide receiver Isaiah Neyor. This makes a little bit of sense in the fact that Sam Brown Jr. was somebody who just had to be released with an injury settlement. Brian Gutekunst had mentioned recently that they liked that amount of wide receivers on the roster. Justice Mosqueda talked about it on our episode, I think a couple weeks ago, of how teams usually like to stack wide receivers just with all the drills that are going on in the preseason games. You need a huge chunk of wide receivers on your roster to kind of get through those. So Isaiah Neyor, who is a undrafted free agent rookie, will get that opportunity with Green Bay starting probably at practice on Thursday today, and then in that preseason game on Saturday. Meanwhile, Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur were both on with Kevin Clark doing interviews with him. Always enjoy interviews with Kevin. He usually has some great ones with Green Bay. I got to sit down with Jordan Love and with Matt LaFleur. Just a couple of fun takeaways. Jordan Love was asked about his favorite newcomer to the team, and without hesitation, Love mentioned Matthew Golden, said that he has been, again, their most impressive newcomer, said he's the real deal, and had a lot of positive things to say about Matthew Golden. I've been trying to temper the Matthew Golden trade as much as possible. Just because, again, we've seen this all before, right? We all get these visions in our head of, oh, Matthew Golden's playing really great. like look out, 75 catches, 1,400 yards, 10 touchdowns incoming. It's probably not going to be that. I still think he has some nuances to pick up within the offense. I thought Keyshawn Nixon in one-on-ones today did a great job of shutting Matthew Golden down on a couple of routes. Golden has things to work on. There's no question about it. But my goodness, is he a tantalizing player. And we've talked about it going back all the way to OTAs and mini camps. But when you have a player like that, when you draft in the first round, what you're looking for is all those signs that you know you thought you saw when you're scouting him on tape and for Green Bay in person as well. You want all of those signs to show up as soon as he gets to Green Bay. He has done that. The speed is there, the change of direction, the acceleration, the burst, the pacing within the route. All of those things are there for Matthew Golden. It's been enough clearly to impress Jordan Love, as he was his quick answer for favorite newcomer, or most impressive newcomer, I should say. Then Matt LaFleur was asked about which players on the team are badasses. And there were some names kind of bandied about, but the name that Matt LaFleur put out there was Chris Brooks. I'm telling you guys, I am telling you flat out, this dude is making the team. If your 53-man roster prediction doesn't have Chris Brooks on it, you're just probably doing it wrong. And I'm still willing to say that it's not a complete lead pipe lock. I get it. The running back position is unique. Emmanuel Wilson, I still think they think very highly of, although he's battling that injury right now. Marshawn Lloyd and Josh Jacobs are complete locks to make the team, assuming that Lloyd is healthy enough come the start of the regular, you know, cutdown time, really. But I just do not believe that they are going to let a pass protector like that at the position, plus with special teams versatility, and he can run the ball and catch the ball out of the backfield. There's just too much there. And then when Matt LaFleur goes out of his way to call him one of the, you know, major badasses on the team, this dude is not going anywhere. I'm telling you, I'm dead serious telling you, Chris Brooks, I like to be on this team and would be very shocked and stunned if that was not the case. All right, a couple updates on injuries. Two new injuries, Carl Brooks, who got poked in the eye, apparently, and then Warren Brinson, who went down seemingly with a shoulder injury. Neither of them returned to practice. Zach Tom apparently also got poked in the eye, but did return to practice. A lot of eye pokes on this particular day. The defensive tackles, meaning Brooks and Brinson, do end up causing some potential confusion or just an issue for this coming Saturday. Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt, if they play, it's probably a series, maybe two, and then they're going to get shut down for the day, and it's well within the realm of possibility that they don't even play at all. If all of a sudden Brinson and Brooks cannot go, you know, you're left with, you know, basically Nazir Stackhouse, Colby Wooden, and then you get to the James Esther and Keith Randolphs. Like, there's just not a lot of depth there. You have four defensive tackles. That's probably not enough to go into the game with. I would not be super stunned if over the course of the next couple of days, if, and this is a big if at this point, but if Brooks and Brinson are unable to play, that they could potentially pick up another defensive tackle along the way just to give them a little bit more depth at that position for their preseason games. Messiah Swinson did return to practice. He had been out with an illness. He came back yesterday and hopefully will be good to go moving forward. Two players, Rashid Walker and Aaron Mosby, both returned to practice, but only in individual work. They did not do any team. I'm still a little bit skeptical on Aaron Mosby. Mosby did individual, but then it looked like not only did they, like, you know, just not have him do teamwork, but it looked almost like he dropped out of practice again. I don't want to speculate on any of this, but he was seen without his pads and coming back out of the Don Hutson Center. So hopefully he's all good. Hopefully it was just that they wanted him to do Indy only, and then we're going to shut him down for the rest of the day. We'll keep an eye on that, but it did look like he kind of got shut down in totality for the remainder of that practice. But we'll see if that is something that we have to worry about moving forward with Aaron Mosby. Again, Rashid Walker, just some individual work as well. Players remaining out: Emmanuel Wilson, Dontavian Wicks, Nate Hobbs, Travis Glover, who of course now is on IR, Kamal Haddon, Marshawn Lloyd, Christian Watson, Colin Oliver, and John Williams. There was the briefest of Jordan Love. Scare is too aggressive, but just there's some curiosity on my end because there was a drill being done. So there's special teams down on one side. The quarterbacks are off working to the other side, you know, working with the center, working on their cadence and play, you know, like they're just their footwork and things like that. And the three other quarterbacks, Malik Willis, Taylor Algirsma, Sean Clifford, are all working, and Jordan Love is not. really probably wouldn't have thought much about it, to be honest, of like just maybe he's just taking a break or, you know, conversing with a coach about a strategy. Who knows? It's not the end of the world that he's not out there with, you know, doing these pretty rudimentary quarterback drills with the other guys, but he is often doing those. But then he's talking to head trainer Nate Weir. And usually when somebody's talking to Nate, it's not a great sign. Usually there's something going on. So it's just kind of this double whammy of Jordan Love not doing the quarterback drills, then talking to Nate Weir. Then he kind of gets done with that conversation with Nate, has the opportunity to go back and work with the quarterbacks. He doesn't. And then he's talking to Tucker Kraft and Adam Stenovich. He talks to Matt LaFleur. All, by the way, none of it looked like there was any real concern or panic or anything like that. He had his helmet still. I really, truly did not believe that there was any major issue here. But when he's not practicing with the rest of the quarterbacks and he's talking to the head trainer, it does give you a little bit of cause for concern. Hindsight, maybe I should have waited until the first team drill started before kind of tweeting out. Also, he came back and played the first team drill. I really appreciate, by the way, I don't think anyone actually got overly upset, although I had a viral tweet and it was tough to kind of keep track of everything. So maybe there were people upset by it, but I've said all along, my goal is to just be the eyes and ears out there for everyone. So I tweeted it out. I think Jordan was asked about it in the locker room afterward, and he said he was just having a conversation with Nate, which is kind of what it looked like, to be honest, but you never quite know in those situations and circumstances. So thankfully, nothing wrong with Jordan. He quickly got back in team drills, finished the practice, and according to Jordan, apparently nothing going on whatsoever other than a conversation with the head trainer, which is apt to happen from time to time. We'll be right back. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Preseason football is underway and college football is just starting, but you can already make season-long more or less picks for the 2025 season on Prize Picks. Enter your picks before week one even kicks off. I had an absolute blast winning on Prize Picks last year, and I am gearing up for another epic run in 2025 and already have some key players in mind, including a breakout year from Jordan Love, a sensational second-year performance from both Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr., and an unbelievable rookie debut from Ashton Jeanty. Now, you may be new to Prize Picks, so let's break it down super easy. Prize Picks is incredibly simple to play. You just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in and win up to 2,000 times your money. That's why Prize Picks already has millions of users, because it's the best place to win cash while watching sports, and there's never been a better time to sign up than today. So download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget to use that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. Run your game. All right, so those are your injury updates. I did not actually, I'm sorry, I failed you. I did not get a look at the starters for the day, although I do not believe it was anything out of the ordinary whatsoever. Jordan Morgan, I do know, is at left tackle. Usually what happens is the very first starting group of the day, they start with the ones. These last couple days, they've started with the twos. So I start tweeting out what's going on in practice, and then the ones come in and I'm still tweeting it out. Yesterday, or on Tuesday, I did a great job of reminding myself to be like, hey, as soon as the one gets out there, make sure that you're getting the starting lineup. Today, I forgot I was tweeting everything that was happening and forgot to get your starter. So yeah, that's on me. I'll go back, watch the tape, review, make sure I'm better tomorrow. But I did biff that one, did not get your starters for the day. But it was definitely nothing out of the ordinary whatsoever. I was really excited because I thought I had a unique take on player of the day. But there was no through line. There was no trend. There was no player that I thought was like really stand out throughout the course of the day in like a pretty significant way. So I'm like, but I think I have one. I think I've got one that I'm pretty excited about that I don't know if anyone else is going to note this one. And then as usual, before I go, I put all my notes together and then I go and check Bill Huber, Paul Bredel, Matt Schneidman, and Pete Doherty to see if there's anything that I missed, any major takeaways. Every once in a while, there'll be something I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, I forgot about this. Or they'll just add a tidbit that I didn't even see that I want to definitely get to. I'll just pause here and say, please go out and read all of their stuff. They're all phenomenal human beings. They all do such an incredible job covering this team. Bill Huber over on Packers on SI, Paul Bredel, ESPN Lacrosse, P. Pete Doherty, PackersNews.com, and Matt Schneidman over on The Athletic. And you're like, Andy, yeah, but The Athletic and PackersNews.com are behind a paywall. Listen, if you don't have the funds, you don't have the funds. I'm not pressuring you, but if you have it, it is by far in a way worth it. Check all four of those out. It's definitely, definitely going to increase your knowledge of the Green Bay Packers in a significant way. But I was all excited because I thought I had this player picked out. Just so happens Pete Doherty and Bill Huber had the same player. I'm like, come on, guys. It just goes to show that they apparently know what they're talking about as well. But Edrian Cooper is my player of the day, as was, again, the key takeaway for Pete, as was the player of the day for Bill Huber. He just continued to make plays over and over. This is also kind of like a training camp achievement award a little bit. He's just been tearing it up every single day. He had a pass breakup on Tucker Kraft in coverage. He had a pressure on Jordan Love, forcing an incompletion. He was shot out of the linebacker into the backfield for a tackle for loss. Another classic Edrian Cooper teleportation play into the backfield. He tipped a pass at the line of scrimmage from Malik Willis. The dude was just everywhere. I asked Matt LaFleur prior to the start of the day of like, hey, you've got these three linebackers out there in Quay and Cooper and Isaiah Simmons at the same time. So I don't think you've ever found, or anyone's ever found, a linebacker trio as fast as that. What does that speed do against an offense? And he did say he wants them to, you know, focus on reading their keys, planting their foot on the ground and going and making those plays, but pointed to a couple plays, especially that Edrian Cooper has made. And we just saw it all day again on Wednesday. Edrian Cooper, absolutely everywhere. If there was any concern, at least up until this point, that, you know, with losing Anthony Campanelli, maybe he was going to take a step back, or maybe, you know, year two slump or a sophomore slump. As of now, there are no signs or indicators of that whatsoever. The Edrian Cooper that we saw at the end of 2024 has thus far carried over into the beginning of 2025. Play of the day, there wasn't a ton. There's a couple unique ones, but I'm going to go with one in particular. This is also, I'm going to group these together. Julian Hicks had a couple passes, and it was either two in a row or like two in the same period, but he went up and skied to get a ball, which was a really nice play. But my more impressive one, my play of the day, was there was a really contested catch for Julian Hicks that whether it was about to be a PBU or got tipped a little bit, there was something where the ball kind of ricocheted a little bit. It may have even been off of himself, but it kind of ricochets forward and he reaches out, one hands it. And here's the thing, but if you would have caught it initially, which again, I don't think there's anything he could have done. It was great pass defense on that play. If he catches it initially, he catches it and he's down in this instance, because again, we're playing basically two-hand touch football here. But in this instance, there's a contest, it kind of ricochets, the player kind of falls off of it as Hicks separates. Hicks moves forward to one-hand it, and now he's got open space in front of him because the defender ends up being behind him. Would have been a big play for Julian Hicks, but you know, great contested catch, great concentration to come up with the one-handed catch off of what looked like a little bit of a deflection or just some movement of the ball to make it that he had to go out and get it one-handed. He has had a really nice camp, and I thought that was one of the really cool and unique plays of the day. All right, some miscellaneous players that I wanted to go over. I thought Keyshawn Nixon did an unbelievable job of setting the tone all throughout practice. As mentioned earlier, had two great plays against Matthew Golden in one-on-ones. He just early and often set the intensity for practice, and really, I thought, put the defense ahead for a huge chunk of the practice up until the red zone period, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. And then during the practice too, we had a wide receiver screen that he was all over. Just an intense practice from Nixon. Really enjoyed it. He continues to have a fantastic camp so far. Kenny Clark had a prime Kenny Clark moment, just resetting the line of scrimmage, getting into the backfield, having a tackle for loss. Also stuffed up another play on the interior of the defensive line. Devontae Wyatt, I thought he had his best day. Beat Aaron Banks for a would-be sack. Had another stuff at the line of scrimmage. There were a couple other plays where he was involved with a handful of players on a run stop. So I thought Devontae Wyatt, easily his best day of camp, at least from my observation so far. Talked about this guy the other day, but I cannot say enough. Deslon Alexander, talked about it on live. Put the asterisk and the caveat next to it if you want. All of his plays that I could tell have happened against the threes, really. Regardless, I'm not sure that there's been a defensive lineman, tackle or end, who has made more plays, more splash plays or noticeable plays thus far than Deslon Alexander. Sure, it's against the third teamers and things like that, but it's showing up every single day. He had a sack on Taylor Algersma. He had a tackle for loss that he just shot right through the defensive line or as a defensive lineman, right through the offensive line into the backfield for that TFL. These are the things that are happening every single day for him. Still don't know that there's a 53 spot that's up for grabs for him, but I will say he should have a real easy track towards a defensive end spot on the practice squad. And he's a guy that you want on there, because if you need to call him up and he needs to be your number four or five defender, edge defender for a day, and you need to play him 10 to 15 snaps, I think he's going to be up for it. I'm not saying he's going to go out and tear it up or anything like that, but what you want to do in those situations, when you're calling somebody up from the practice squad, you just want them basically to be unnoticeable, meaning don't screw anything up, don't have anything negative go your way. Deslon Alexander, at minimum, has the ability to be that and maybe come up with a play here or there as well. Really like him, and he's had a fantastic camp so far. Jordan Morgan had a little bit of a tough day. He had a missed block in a lot of pressure, both versus LVN and versus Rashawn Gary. Also had a false start, which got him benched for a play. That's just common standard. If you have a penalty like that, you immediately get benched. I just want to add one thing here. Jordan Morgan may go on to be a god-awful draft pick. He may go on to be an all-pro. If there is any fan base that should understand that sometimes these players take into year two or year three, even as first round picks, to really reach the peak of their powers or start having a breakout season, it should be Packers fans. Not to mention that the dude was injured all last year. We haven't even really seen what Jordan Morgan looks like. Can we get him through a few preseason games? Can we get him through a little bit of the regular season before we jump in his second year after a completely injury riddled year one? Can we let him have a second before we completely come to a conclusion or try to confirm priors of, yep, didn't like him in the draft, so clearly he was a stupid pick. Let's just give him a hot second. And what I'll say on top of that is you will have plenty of time. You will have plenty of time, if Jordan Morgan does not work out, to roast Jordan Morgan and roast Brian Gutekunst, if that is your particular brand of vodka. Kudos to you. Congratulations. You got it right. If that ends up being the case, there will be a time and a place for that, just like there has been for numerous poor defense, or you know, both defensive and offensive draft picks in the past. We get to pick on the Kevin King selections. There are plenty of them out there. You have ample opportunity for the ones that we already know. Jordan Morgan, we don't know at this point. It's an unfortunate situation with the injuries last year. By all accounts, Green Bay seems fairly happy with how Jordan Morgan has been performing in camp so far. I don't know. We're about to get our first real taste in preseason this week at Saturday against the Jets. He's probably 1A on my list of players that I'm looking forward to watching in this game. Let's see how he does. And then let's see if that carries over, if it's good, into the season. Or if it's bad, let's see if he can correct it. I'll just say it one more time. There will be plenty of time to drag Brian Gutekunst and, you know, Jordan Morgan, if that's what you want to do, if he doesn't turn out. But let's just give the kid a chance first and see if he can be something, because I do think he will be. I think he's going to be a good offensive lineman. I don't know if he's going to be great. I don't know if he's going to end up in the, you know, in a situation where he doesn't live up to the first round pick. Just one more thing really quick. I've seen a lot of people say, like, well, they overdrafted him. By all accounts, numerous reports that there were teams that wanted him at the end of round one, that were going to take him at the end of round one, maybe even a couple picks later after Green Bay selected. If they wanted Jordan Morgan, they needed to take him there. I've also seen people say, yeah, well, he had the early, you know, second, mid-second round grade for a lot of people. By the way, myself included, I had early to mid-second round grade on Jordan Morgan. If you have an early to mid-second round grade on an offensive lineman, do you know where those players go almost every single time? The end of round one. Because offensive linemen have a bump up in value because of how valuable they are and how difficult they are to find. So even if he did have a early to mid second round grade on him, drafting him at the end of the first is not an overdraft. That's where those guys go. Period. End of story. And yes, this may come as a surprise. They could have had Cooper DeJean. Oh, great. They could have. You could do that with every pick in every round for every team. It's very rare that you actually got the best guy that was available on the board. And I'll say the last thing, if they screwed up the first round pick with Jordan Morgan, do you know the player that they should have taken there? Edgerrin Cooper, and they got him in the second round. And, you know, Cooper DeJean was not available when they took Javon Bullard later. So sometimes these things just work out that way, but let's just give Jordan Morgan can we give him a minute to see what he can ultimately become? But to be fair, not a great practice on Wednesday, and hopefully he can bounce back on Thursday and then Saturday's preseason game. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, I have to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out called Prealcohol. Now, ZBiotics Prealcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Prealcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make Prealcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Now listen, I get it. I was a bit on the fence about Prealcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for a bachelor party, the college basketball tournament, and recently for a friend's epic 40th birthday party, and I'm legit telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Summer is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate the warm weather. And before that backyard barbecue brew, glass of Pinot watching the sunset at the beach, or a cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on that next day and all that summer has to offer. Go to ZBiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code packaday at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/packaday and use the code packaday at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our sponsors and use that code PACKADAY. Rashawn Gary had two tips at the line of scrimmage. LVN had another productive day, had a safety, although it was completely unblocked in a blown assignment, seemingly up front. But that was a safety by LVN. He also had a couple good run stuffs. And I think there was one other pressure as well. So another, again, nice day for LVN. We talked about Julian Hicks and the nice receptions he's had, including that one-hander. Bo Melton had a pass breakup, also in one-on-ones, had an interception. That is a very difficult thing to do, to come up with a pick in one-on-ones. Melton did it, and then, like I said, had a great pass breakup as well, specifically against Malik Heath down the left side of the field. Per Bill Huber, Jordan Love was 15 of 22 on the day, but Bill also does a great job of pointing out that he had three intentional throwaways, which would have been 15 for 19. He also had one pass that was beautiful, which we're going to talk about in a second, that was batted away at the last moment. You know, that could have been 15 of 18. He did have one near interception. Isaiah McDuffie undercut a throw and had looked like he had the opportunity to pick it off. I would probably consider it an interception or turnover worthy play, but the ball was humming and Isaiah McDuffie is a linebacker and not a wide receiver, and he could not hold on to that particular interception. Speaking of the play that I talked about getting knocked out, Jordan Love bought time in the pocket, rolls to his right, and beautifully, and I mean beautifully, lofts the ball down the field to Mecole Hardman into the waiting arms. Mecole catches it, takes a step, Ballantyne punches it out. It could have potentially been a catch and a fumble. I'll let you decide. I know that particular video has been posted out on social media, so if you want to go find it, you can definitely go find it. But Mecole Hardman got that ball punched out. Corey Ballantyne making his presence known. And I think that they called it incomplete on the field. Again, maybe it was a catch and a fumble, but either way, nice job by Ballantyne to punch that thing out. And it was a beautiful play up until that point from Jordan Love. But that's another incompletion that was on his record for the day. That wasn't really an incompletion, or at least not, it shouldn't have been. Hardman needs to come up with that one. Romeo Doubs had another really nice day in one-on-ones. He beat Carrington Ballantyne for a deep touchdown. Then in red zone periods, it was a third and goal. I think it was third and goal. I don't think it was fourth and goal. But either way, Romeo Doubs comes open in the back of the end zone. Great route from him. Jordan Love finds him for the touchdown in that particular red zone period. Willis to Sims for about 17-yard touchdown in red zone as well. And then this number two's got another chance at it. And Willis found Fitzpatrick in the end zone for the third consecutive touchdown in the red zone drills. So they had three opportunities. They scored all three times. The defense had to do push-ups at the end of practice because that was their competitive period for the day. Last but not least, from a play standpoint, Matthew Golden had a play where he just caught a little pass over the middle. and we've talked about it before, but we'll say it again really quick, the acceleration after the catch. It's not just speed after the catch. It's an immediate burst in acceleration where if he needs to get away from somebody, he can do that. He just turns on the jets, and that 0 to 100 acceleration that can take place in an instant, Matthew Golden has that. It's very fun to watch. We saw that on display on Wednesday. Some miscellaneous news and notes. Matt LaFleur, somewhat controversially, according to all of social media, said that Javon Bullard is having an outstanding camp. And for those of you who've been, you know, reading between the lines and watching Matt LaFleur, he has been pretty nondescript about everyone. Everyone's got to be more consistent. Everyone needs to, you know, have better attention to detail, stack success. He's excited to see them in the preseason or, you know, continue to improve throughout the year. Omar Brown got a pretty good compliment the other day from Matt, but there's been nobody that's got a comment like this, saying that Javon Bullard is having, again, a quote, outstanding training camp. He did mention that, you know, hey, I know you guys have seen him get beat on one-on-ones. We talked about this the other day. One-on-ones are not real football. I did think that I know he was involved in that deep ball the other day to Romeo Doubs. I don't know if it was his fault at all. I didn't get to see the all 22 of that play, unfortunately. But playing in the box, playing in the slot, playing at safety, Matt LaFleur says he's doing an outstanding job. And hopefully that's the case. And hopefully Javon Bullard is in for a big season this year. Baron Sorrell did get a couple of reps as an interior rusher on some obvious passing downs. That could be a player that gets some time there on Saturday, if in fact there are some injuries and maybe they don't pick up a player in time. And then last but not least, your announcers for week one, Packers Lions, will be Jim Nance and Tony Romo, the number one announced crew over at CBS. Yes, it's an NFC game. Yes, it'll be on CBS. And again, it'll be Jim Nance and Tony Romo calling that game. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so incredibly much for joining me. I will be right back here later today with a full breakdown, or at least my immediate reactions to everything that happened at day, 12 already of Packers training camp. And then, of course, on Friday morning with your full breakdown of everything that happened on Thursday. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle-Stinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, and Craig. I will see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.